I don't know how you do it, Travis, without water. I get dry sitting right there, even, you know. Good evening. It's good to be here with everybody this evening. I appreciate the opportunity to get up here and to maybe present some thoughts on God's word. Hopefully I can do it justice like Austin does and like Travis. But I will say this. I timed it and I'm like in the 18 to 20 minute mark, so hopefully I'll stay under 30. So without further ado, I'm going to ask a few questions as we get into our lesson tonight. Have you ever felt like maybe there's, in any situation, there's no one there to help you? Like you're doing it by yourself, that kind of thing. Or maybe like you're caught in a trap with no way out. Maybe like you're in a small, tight, confined space with very limited options, or maybe even no options at all. Let me just say, I hate small places. I hate being confined. I hate feeling like I'm hemmed in. I was telling Cody last night, we went on a trip several years ago and was doing some zip lining, and just the harness, putting it on, was too tight around. I mean, all it is straps. You know, I mean, it's not like I had a straitjacket on it, but I felt, I was like, oh, I can't breathe. You know, I hate that. And I'll tell you this, I would have felt that way all day long had I not changed my sermon a week and a half ago. We'd have heard the same thing twice, let me just say. But let me ask you this. As it relates to being a child of God, have you ever felt any of those things? Maybe in the face of temptation, you've succumbed to that temptation feeling like maybe you're all alone, like you couldn't escape, like maybe the situation was too big for you. Maybe you've even stared down the face of temptation and just to go right ahead and to give in. I hate the way that makes me feel. I feel like a loser. And I just, at times I think, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was a way that we could consistently win the battle against temptation? Wait, the good thing is, there is a way that we can win the battle over temptation because of God's gracious and loving and protective nature. He's given us a way to do that. And we find that in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. If you want to turn in your Bibles there, we'll read this here in just a second. We're going to take our lesson from here tonight. There will be some other verses I won't have on the screen. May kind of go through them, not just really quick, but again, follow along in your Bibles if you like, or up on the screen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it." I think one of the things that I want us to look at tonight, one of the first things, is that's going to help us in our battle against temptation, is that, of course, this is what we're going to be talking about, the way of escape here. Our situation is not unique. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man." Common to man means there are others who have faced temptations, same temptations we faced. No one is exempt from temptation. Temptation comes to every Christian, or into every Christian's life, into everyone's life, really. And even Jesus was tempted. In our class this morning, Travis talked about in Hebrews chapter 4, the Melchizedek, and how Jesus is a greater high priest than even Melchizedek. And in verse 15 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, the writer says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Even Jesus faced the same temptation, or a similar temptation, principally speaking, as we face. Yet he faced that without sin. I think it's also good to remember here, just as an aside, temptation is not sinful. The writer of James stipulates this in chapter 1 of James, verse 15, 14 to 15. You know, it's the giving in to sin that brings forth death. That's where giving in to temptation that brings forth death. That's where sin occurs. In fact, if we go back up in the first part of that chapter, verse 2, 3, 4-ish in that range, you know, James actually says, we're to count it all joy when we encounter temptation, when we're faced with temptation. Now, I would say this, that's a very good discussion to have just another time. We're not going to talk about that tonight. But that's something to remember. Just because we're tempted, don't think that we've automatically sinned because I have a desire in my heart to do something. I'm facing temptation. But the thing is, no matter the circumstances, there are others who have faced the same thing. That means there are others to whom we can reach out to in times of need, in times of when we're facing temptation. They've, again, experienced the same or similar things. There are people in this audience tonight, I would be willing to bet if we polled the audience, that no, we're not going to, but if we were able to poll the audience and figure out, we in here have covered a gamut of sin in our life. Again, I'm not saying this from a, hey, this is a great thing, but it's from a tool that we can use, that there's not a whole lot of anything that we face by way of temptation that someone in here couldn't help with. And I know there are the faces that are looking back at me right now, there are many, many, many who are ready to help. That's something that should help us in the face of temptation, is understanding that no matter the circumstances, we're not alone. No one is alone. We're not out on an island. We're not isolated from anything or anyone. I would say, though, if Satan, though he tries, if he can convince us that we are alone, then he knows that we're not likely to reach out to anyone or to God in the face of temptation. Thinking we're alone makes it easier in a lot of respects to give in to that temptation. There's not a whole lot stopping us there. Loneliness, hopelessness, helplessness, depression, things that are like that, they're all tools of Satan. They're designed to take us away and pull us away from God and from our brothers and our sisters and from everyone. They sure take the fight out of us when we experience those things. One of the things that we need to remember is that we are not alone, and God is here to help. Which brings us to our next point. God knows our limitations. Paul talks here back in verse 13, the second part of that is, "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Already, I need the water. Travis hit on a point a week or two ago, I guess, about the words, but God. Two of the most comforting, two of the most comforting words in the Bible. And that's true, especially here in this passage. Two of the most comforting words that we could hear, especially when they are accompanied by the words, is faithful. I mean, even more so, right? God is faithful. Because of these words, we can take comfort in knowing that God will stay the course and be by our side. He has not, nor will he, desert us. He's there to help us in the face of temptation. Part of feeling hopeless or helpless comes from one of a couple of things, in my opinion, my understanding, is number one, the fact that we can't physically see God. At times, we might start thinking, well, you know, he's not here. Maybe he's left me. Somebody might even think, well, I mean, he's even there at all, right? I mean, we know there are people that have that mentality that we can't see God. I don't think he's real. But, you know, part of that also comes from thinking that what we're facing is a little bit too difficult to bear. Paul says that in whatever we face, however difficult it may seem, it'll not be too difficult that we can't endure it with help from God. You see, we've got a promise of protection from God. He's going to take care of us. He's going to allow us to endure the temptation because it will be something that will not overcome us. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, in verse 5, the writer there says, I will never desert you, speaking of God. God is saying, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. In 2 Peter chapter 2, there's this concept that Peter lays out in starting about verse 4, goes through about verse 9. He talks about if God, first part there, kind of, if God knows how to distinguish angels who are good versus bad, or sin who don't sin, if he's able to rescue Noah from this perverse generation or the wicked people of that time, if he's able to rescue Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, what's his answer? What does he say? If he can do all that, if he knows how to do that, he knows how to rescue you, me, us. God's there to protect us. God is not going to leave us in the lurch, having to bear something that's just too much for us. But he's going to remain by our side through the whole time. Which means in the end, we're not trapped. Paul says, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. Now, at first glance, you may read this and it seems like when God sends the temptation, God sends a way of escape with it. No, God doesn't tempt us. We're not tempted by God. But when we are faced with temptation, that's another part where God is faithful. God's not leaving us in the lurch. And he will provide us, again, a way of escape, a way out. We may find ourselves in some difficult situations, difficult circumstances from time to time. And in fact, we may find ourselves in some very difficult circumstances, depending on things that are happening, events that are around us in our life. But that circumstance, our situation, will never be hopeless. Again, not where we have to succumb to that temptation. Again, with every temptation, there's going to be a way of escape, a way out, a way to make sure that we don't have to fall into that temptation. But I think we're going to need to find that way of escape. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to imply here that God has hidden this way of escape. God says he'll provide a way of escape, and he's going to provide a way of escape. There's no two ways about it. But I think there's some things that we can do. It's going to take some action on our part to find this way of escape and to use this way of escape, right? I think one of the things, before we face temptation, we need to look for this way of escape. How do we do that? I think a couple things would be really helpful for us. When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, the Lord teaches how to pray. He says, he lays out this prayer, and part of that prayer is what? Lead us not into temptation. Later on in Mark, chapter 14, when he's going into the garden, the disciples that come with him, they've fallen asleep. Chapter 14, around verse 38. What does he say to them? He says, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think one of the things we need to do is be mindful in our prayer of our need for God in temptation. Lay that out beforehand. This is something that should go on every day in our prayer life and in as often as we pray to God. Help us in the time of temptation. Help us see the way of escape that you have promised for us. I think another thing that we can do is focus our lives on Jesus and on the Word, remembering that, again, he faced the same things as we have. We talked about Hebrews chapter 4. Also, Hebrews chapter 12. Consider him who has endured such hostility against himself by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I mean, there is text in Scripture that should help inspire us and motivate us to press on and to keep going and to stay strong in the face of temptation. These are key to us being ready, being in prayer and being in the Word. We're not going to be ready for temptation if we're not doing these things on a regular basis. But I would say also, in the face of temptation, we need to listen for the way of escape. How do we do that? I would say the passage that comes to mind when I think of along these lines is, again, this was just a day of Travis stole my thoughts. And so in our Bible class this morning, I say that facetiously, in our Bible class this morning, we talked about the story of Elijah, right? First Kings 16 through 19 there is where he has defeated or killed all of the priests of Baal. Jezebel is furious. She has vowed that he's going to die in this next 24-hour period. So what does he do? Did what probably I would have done. He runs, right? And he flees from the scene. he runs away from the situation, and he basically gives up. He basically just says, it's enough. It's too much. But then we hear about that still small voice, or some of the texts, some of the versions talk about a low whisper, a gentle whisper, a soft whisper, a thin silence. This is what happened when God came near to Elijah. That thin silence, that small voice that came to him and brought him back to where he should be. Now, lest anyone be confused by what I'm saying, I will say this after I take a drink. I am not saying that God speaks to people today like he did then. In this situation, in this instance here in 1 Kings, he is speaking to Elijah. He spoke directly at that time to people, his people. But we know today he speaks through his scripture. But that voice is still out there. That voice is still something that we can listen to, we can still hear, and we can listen for it. It could be many things, but in my experience, that voice has been things like a little voice in the back of my head, kind of gently reminding me of what's right and what's wrong in a given situation. Maybe I'm tempted to do something, and something in my mind, call it conscience, whatever, but something in my mind's talking about, well, what's right here? What's wrong here? Sometimes a passage of scripture will pop into my head that's apropos for the moment, or sometimes not. If you know anything about me, I love to sing. And sometimes I hear the singing of a hymn in my mind. Sometimes I'll hear somebody say something outside, if I'm out somewhere or whatever. It's just at the right time. Sometimes I receive an email at just the right time, or maybe I receive a text at just the right time. I received one such text at just the right time a few weeks back, here at the end of March. And I'm going to talk about that here for a couple minutes. I was serving on jury duty here in Odessa, and it was on a murder trial. I'm not going to get into the details for many reasons tonight, but for multiple reasons, I'm not saying this by way of excuse, but for multiple reasons, I allowed my mind throughout that trial, throughout all the videos that we saw, and over and over again, and the pictures that we saw, I allowed my mind to go to a place where it shouldn't have been, probably. I experienced thoughts and feelings of anger, of maybe even hatred, of resolve and wanting to make sure I did it my very dead level best to protect my wife and my daughter and those that I love. But on the last day, when we were doing the sentencing, I got the following text that kind of shook me back a little bit to reality. And this is what it said. Dear God, today, don't let me lose my joy, my peace, my focus, or my mind. And then there was this scripture underneath it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 7. Now you know why I had to change it. Anyway, had I not changed it, it would have been the same one. But anyway, when I saw this text, I saw it, I chose to see it as something that God sent to me through our sister, Ruth, who sends out a daily scripture reading or daily thought, whatever. I am forever thankful to her for that. But I saw it as him sending something to me to gently nudge me back to him, just to make sure in his way that I didn't do anything or say anything that might have been wrong, or even worse, that might have shed a bad light on him. So instead of looking at it and moving on, which, truth be told, I get that every day, and sometimes I look at it and sometimes I don't look at it right away, but I look at that and, okay, and then sometimes I look at that and go, okay. And then sometimes it's, hey, it was one of those days where it just hit me the right way. And instead of allowing myself to take glory away from God and do something wrong, I used it as motivation and determination to be a light for God that day. Now, I didn't bring that up to say, look at me. If anything, I brought it up more to say, look at Ruth, who does such wonderful things. We all do. This is not just, she's not the only one. But I still go back to that text and read that text from time to time. Just in the last couple few weeks, it's hard to get images out of your mind sometimes. And so I go back to that to help me. Point I'm trying to make is I don't think we're talking about some elaborate plan that God uses to help us in temptation. I think as with many things, or as in many things with God, it's the small things that matter. And a little text, a word, number one, that maybe we provide to someone else can go a long way. But even a text or a word that we hear that comes in our mind can go a long way too in helping us find that way of escape. If we look for it and we listen for it, we'll find that way of escape. So I think the question tonight is, do you want to win the battle over temptation? I mean, we can. We can certainly win the battle over temptation each and every time. Jesus did it. He's our example. If we do, it starts by remembering again that our circumstances are not unique. God's not going to desert us. He knows how to deliver us. He's going to provide that way of escape. We need to look for it, and we need to listen for it, especially when we're faced directly with temptation. I think if we can find a way to mentally break away from the situation at hand, that can help us walk away from temptation and win the battle. That's what I think God would try to do for us. In the end, I think we have everything that we need in order to help us make the right decision and walk away from temptation at any given time. The question is, will we? Will you? Will I? I can only speak for myself. I sure hope so. Because when we go out these doors tonight, like every other night, we are in the dark world that's out there. I'm not trying to play that up. Spiritually speaking, it's darkness that we're going into. We are the light. We're supposed to be the light out there. And we can win this battle with God's help. If you're a child of God, or I'm sorry, if you're not a child of God, will you take this time tonight to obey him and put on his name in baptism? If you are a child of God and maybe you need help and comfort from us here to help with temptation and the face of temptation, you know, either way, tonight's the best night that there is to come forward and act on either one of these things, both of these things. God is here, ready to help. We are here, ready to help, and ready to do what we can to help you in whatever situation you're in. So either way, if you'd like to come forward and obey the gospel, or if you'd like prayers, why don't you do that now as we stand and sing the song. God.